for the Word of God today. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 8. I put these two chapters together because they are speaking about the same vision, just in a little bit different form. And I wanted to talk about both of them at the same time, because we're going to be talking about understanding the plan of God today. So I want you to get your Bibles ready. You can follow on the screen. We're going to start with chapter 7. I'm going to play that one this morning like we've been doing from our audio Bible. Just helps us get a picture for what's going on. So if you follow along for chapter 7, and then I'm going to share a little bit of the message, and then as we when we get closer to it, then I'll play chapter 8 a little bit later in the service this morning. Dave, you'll have to unmute that computer again. Or actually, it's the iPhone. The iPhone channels.
Chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said,
"In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told,
'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.'
After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had 4 wings, like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things.
The 4 great beasts are 4 kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever.
Then I wanted to know the meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head, and about the other horn that came up, before which 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation.
The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time, times and half a time. But the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him.
This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself.
Daniel chapter 7. When you read Daniel chapter 7, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Come on, shout out a couple things this morning. Do what? Revelation? Anybody else? Daniel chapter 7. What comes to mind? Okay. Somebody said it's confusing. All right. Anybody else? Tribulation. All right. Prophecy. We get into this part of Daniel that speaks of visions, and 7 and 8 contain 2 visions that he had about 2 years apart. This first one in chapter 7 is noted as taking place in the first year of the reign of King Belshazzar, which we've already visited Belshazzar in the book of Daniel, but now we're kind of going back in time from where we were at just last week, and Daniel's telling us about this dream, this vision that he had. So we think of prophecy, and we do tie it in many times to the book of Revelation, or the end times, or the tribulation period, and there's good reason for that. But I want you to remember this morning that as we're working through the book of Daniel, that for our purposes, our study of Daniel is focusing on the idea of standing strong. With that in mind, we're not going to spend a great deal of time discussing the details of the vision and its interpretation, but rather more specifically how these visions as a whole teach us another principle of standing strong. And we will talk about it a little bit, but I want to focus on what we've been focusing on, how to stand strong. And what does this do? What does this have to do with standing strong? See, I believe that in order to stand strong, we must have an understanding of God's plan. An understanding of God's plan. If you don't understand what God's plan is, how are you going to stand strong? God was giving Daniel understanding. He was giving him, yes, a prophecy. He was giving him revelation. He was giving him information and knowledge of things that were going to take place in the days to come. But he was giving him an understanding of what the plan of heaven was. You know, 1 Chronicles 12:32 says that the men of Issachar were special because they understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. Do you understand what God's plan is? We need people who understand the plan of God. But in order to get that understanding, there are four important principles that we need to discuss. And that's what I want to share with you today. Four principles that help us understand the plan of God. Number one is this: relationship required. If you're going to understand the plan of God, you need to know this. It takes relationship for God to share with you his plan. You can't try to figure out the plan of God with no relationship with God. And I think that's where a lot of people get caught up. I think that's where we have a lot of even so-called biblical scholars who try to interpret the word of God, but they don't have a real relationship with God. And what comes out of that is just a mess of interpretation. If you want to understand God's plan, get a relationship with God. Develop that relationship with God, and he will give you understanding. So Daniel had a relationship with God. We know that. We've already seen in these first six chapters that Daniel had a relationship with God. We saw how he prayed three times a day, even when the edict came down that said, you can't do that. We saw that he looked to God for answers when he needed interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. We saw that he stood strong because he had a relationship with God and refused to defile himself with the king's meat. He looked to God. He had a relationship with God. And because of that, God spoke to him and God gave him divine revelation. Now, I want you to listen to me for just a minute. The closer our relationship with God, the more revelation we will receive from him. The closer our relationship with God, the more revelation we will receive from him. If you want to understand God's plan, then you've got to begin by developing a relationship with the living God. And when you do that, he will begin to bring to you revelation and understanding and knowledge of his will and his plan. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 2. And I want you to see this principle as Paul writes about it there, beginning in the 7th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. Paul says, listen, people didn't have an understanding of God's message and God's plan. For if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived of, the things God has prepared for those who love him, those are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. So Paul's saying, listen, you don't get this from human mindset. You don't get this from human eyes or human ears. This is something that comes from God. So you need a relationship with God. You need a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that he can tell you these things and teach you these things. There are things that we will never know until we get into relationship with God. But once we're in relationship with God, he's going to show you what no eye has seen, what no ear has ever heard, what no human mind has ever conceived of. But he will reveal it to you. He goes on to say, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit, listen to this part, The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. See, there's no understanding. And cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we get understanding? We enter into a relationship with God. And we develop that relationship with God because the closer we are in relationship with God, the more he will reveal to us. The more we let his Spirit reign in our lives, the more understanding we are going to gain of the principles of God's word, the truth of his will, and what his plan for our lives and for this world truly is. Relationship required. Number two, how do we gain this understanding? We need to begin receiving revelation. Receiving revelation. Now, Daniel had a dream. He had a vision, and he received revelation from God. How do we begin receiving revelation? As those who have entered into a relationship with God, how do we receive revelation, which brings understanding of God's plan? Well, there's dreams, there's visions. How about prayer? If we're entering into prayer, we're conversing with God. That's a means of receiving revelation. I don't know how many things that I have heard from the voice of the Holy Spirit when I have truly gotten alone with him in prayer. I don't know how many times God has given me a word picture, and then I've asked him about it, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit explaining it to me. I don't know how many times I have been reading through a passage of Scripture and stopped to just pray and ask God, God, what are you speaking to me through this particular Scripture? And he speaks to me. Now, maybe it's not an audible voice, but he speaks to us. Amen? He speaks to our hearts, and he brings understanding. He brings revelation to us, which is, revelation is simply knowledge that we didn't have before. So there's prayer, contemplation, reading and studying the Word of God. If we would, I know we hammer on this, but that just is no other way. If we'll read and we'll study the Word of God, he will give you revelation. You want to know what his plan is? You want to know what's going to be happening in the world and what's happening in your life? Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. And he reveals himself to you through that Word. We are more blessed than Daniel ever was because we have the written Word of God that we can go and we can open it up every day of our lives and read and receive revelation from if we have a relationship with God. You know why so many people don't understand the Word of God? Because they haven't developed their relationship with God. You develop your relationship with God and you open up that Word and you begin to read it and you begin to study it. He's going to speak to you. You say, but I get to parts of it that I don't understand. You're going to see something this morning, not only in chapter 7, but in chapter 8, two different visions that Daniel had. And Daniel gets to the end of both of those chapters, and he basically tells you he didn't get it all. He tells you he was troubled in his spirit because he didn't have complete and total understanding of these things that were being shared with him. Listen, just because you don't understand at all doesn't mean you're not receiving something from the Lord. We want to throw out revelation because we think, but I don't have a complete understanding. I don't have a full picture of everything that, I don't have all the answers that I was asking. Don't throw out the fact that God is revealing things to you. And he will continue to reveal things to you. Receive that revelation from the Lord. Then we have things like the word gifts. As we read in the New Testament and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are also sources of revelation coming into our lives. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These gifts, the preaching of the word, can bring revelation into our lives. Let me just tell you something. You want revelation from God? One of the things that we've kind of given up on and we don't emphasize as much as I believe that we need to is this thing that we call an altar. I know it's just steps. I know it's just the front of the building, but I'm talking about a place where we get into the presence of God. We find an altar of commitment and relationship with God. And if you want understanding of God's plan, then I encourage you, that you're going to get better counseling at this altar than you can find anywhere in this world for any amount of money. You're going to find more comfort here than you will find from 1,000 people who you pay to comfort you. You're going to find more healing here than you will find anywhere else in the world. But you've got to get into the presence of God. You've got to find an altar. I don't care if it's in your closet at home, but you find an altar. And I believe in the church altar. I believe that there's so many things that happen when we come into the presence of God with other believers. And we get into the altar and God reveals things to us. But you got to take advantage of it. You have to receive that revelation from the Lord. Now, real quickly, I said we're not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to delve into the particulars of the prophecy that is given here and its interpretation. The book itself gives you the interpretation. I know we fight over this and fight over this and fight over this and try to discern even more. But here's what we see, and I want you to go back to Daniel chapter 2 as well. Because Daniel chapter 2, even though that wasn't given to him directly, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had is very similar and is talking about some of the same things that Daniel receives in a personal vision in chapter 7 and then even in more detail in chapter 8. And that's why I've combined them together. So in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8, as we'll hear that in just a moment, they all focus on the same events revealed in a slightly different way. And in some cases, we get slightly different information. Not contradictory information, but different information. Or just a little more detail into what God is revealing. So here's what we get. You put it all together. Sometimes we just need to simplify prophecy. I really believe sometimes we miss the whole point of what God is trying to teach us because we try to make it so complicated, we try to put so much into the details that we miss what God really wants us to see. But here's what we can summarize these prophecies to share with us about understanding God's plan in Daniel 2, 7, and 8. There's going to be the rise and fall of four kingdoms. Okay? That's simple enough, isn't it? Rise and fall of four kingdoms. There's going to be a successive ruler out of that fourth kingdom, or some people designated a fifth kingdom, who wars against the people of God and God himself. Now, that we know from this prophecy. Now, you can go back and begin to put names and titles and kingdoms upon this, which we've pretty well done with especially those first three kingdoms, if not all four kingdoms. We know the Babylonian kingdom represents all the way back in chapter 2, because Daniel said it did, that gold head. Here in Daniel chapter 7, it's represented as a beast, as a lion, but he was stripped of his power, set up on his feet like a man. And that represents King Nebuchadnezzar himself, who went through that time of pride, being humbled by God, right? And then set back upon his feet as a man. Then we have the second beast, or the second part of the statue, which represents the Medo-Persian Empire. Here in Daniel chapter 7, it's a bear on its side, raised up, three things in its mouth, representing three conquering quests that the Medo-Persian Empire made. And then we move on to the next kingdom. By the way, for the most part, these kingdoms that Daniel continues to talk about here, they came way after Daniel was gone. This isn't Daniel looking back at these things and saying they happened. This is prophecy that God had given Daniel, an understanding of his plan. The next kingdom we see is that leopard with wings who moved fast and viciously. We'll again see that kingdom. But it's the Grecian Empire, specifically under the authority of Alexander, who very quickly conquered vast amounts of territory. And then that fourth kingdom that we typically assign to the Roman kingdom. In the statue, it's the legs of iron. But you'll remember that the statue continued, that the legs of iron went down into the feet and the toes that were iron mixed with clay. And there were 10 toes, and that was a part of the vision that was given Nebuchadnezzar. And here in Daniel chapter 7, we see that number 10 again, but now it's represented on the fourth beast, or on the legs in chapter 2, as 10 what? Horns. Still the number 10. So there's a successive rule of this final kingdom, out of which there's 10 rulers, and then it says, begins focusing on a little horn, it says, in chapter 7, a successive ruler who wars against the people of God and against God himself. The third thing that we see in Daniel 2, 7, and 8, in different ways, but it's the same principle, is the victory of Christ over this ruler and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. So you can for a moment get rid of all the other details and know these three things. There's going to be four kingdoms that rise and fall. There's going to be a successive ruler that comes out of that fourth kingdom who will war against the people of God and who will war against God himself. And that Christ will destroy this ruler. And as is pictured in Daniel chapter 7, he will not only kill the beast, but the beast will be thrown into the fire. Well, Revelation tells us that there's an eternal fire that has been prepared for the beast, right? For the Antichrist, for the false prophet. So those three things are the understanding of God's plan. It's a revelation that God wanted to give to Daniel, and he wants to give to us today. And it's important that we understand God's plan. That's not the only part of God's plan. But I'm telling you that if we'll receive the revelation, then we will get an understanding of God's plan. And again, just a reminder that revelation does not always give us the entire picture, and certainly not every detail. So get that down. When you receive that revelation, just know in your heart, it doesn't always give us the entire picture. See, Daniel, starting back in chapter 2, Daniel knew that there would be four kingdoms. He didn't know what the names of these rulers were going to be. He didn't know the exact dates when they were going to rise and when they were going to fall. But he did know that they were going to be there, and he did know that God, remember in chapter 2, what destroys the statue? Anybody remember? A rock not cut with human hands. Again, representing Jesus Christ and his kingdom is what destroys these kingdoms. Here, we get even more of the picture because we're told it's one that looks like the Son of Man. We've already been introduced to that guy in the book of Daniel when he walked in the midst of the flames with the three Hebrew children. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the kingdom of God. And it is God himself, the Ancient of Days, and his anointed one, the Messiah, Christ, who will stand up against this final kingdom and destroy it. See, that's God's plan. But we don't always get all of the details all at once, or even in our lifetime, when revelation comes to us. See, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We don't always get it, but that doesn't mean that we're not receiving revelation. Receive that revelation so that you can have understanding of God's plan. And then number two, I want to tell you about revelation, is that sometimes it's progressive in nature. Progressive revelation. When I think of progressive revelation, I always go to the New Testament and Joseph, Mary's husband. And I marvel at the way that God gave Joseph revelation. Tells him in a dream, right? The Bible tells us about this pregnancy that he's upset about. He's ready to put her away privately and divorce her, but God shows up, gives him revelation. But he didn't tell him everything, did he? He said, take her as your wife. He got up and he did it. He didn't tell him that Bethlehem, that 9 months later, they're going to be traveling by donkey to Bethlehem. No room in the inn. Didn't tell him that. Didn't tell him that within a couple of years of the baby being born, that Herod would send people, soldiers, to destroy all of the children who were 2 years old and under. He didn't tell him that then, but later on he did, didn't he? God revealed more to him. And God said, look, get up and go to Egypt. Get up now. Herod is dead. Go. And God progressively gave Joseph the revelation that he needed to understand what the plan of God was. And he followed that revelation and that plan with as much knowledge as he had at the time. Revelation can be very progressive in nature. Now, for Daniel, we've already seen that this revelation about these four kingdoms started with the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Now he gets even more information in his personal revelation here in chapter 7. And 2 years later, he gets yet another vision from God that is even more specific, still contains the same basic plan, but chapter 8 gives him even more information than he has before. So revelation, as we receive it, know this, that you may be receiving part of it and then later on receiving even more progressive revelation and so on and so on and so on. So we continue to receive it, is what I'm saying, from the Lord. He continues to reveal his plan in us. How do we continue to receive it? We continue to stay in relationship with God so that those avenues for receiving that revelation remain open in our lives. Listen, if you want to go to church once a year and you want to open your Bible once every 10 months or a couple of years, you're not going to continue to receive revelation. You need to stay in relationship with God, stay in the presence of God so that he can continue to reveal his plan to you. And then the final thing, I've told you this before when we were talking about the book of Revelations, that revelation can and often does apply to more than one time frame. So sometimes revelation will have a fulfillment. For instance, in the book of Daniel, we see this, that there was fulfillment of some of that revelation in Daniel's day, or in the centuries just after Daniel's death. But it also refers to the end times. And when we get to chapter 8, we kind of see this picture playing out, because chapter 8, as we get this vision that speaks specifically of the second and the third kingdoms here, we see a name almost put to it, because we're looking back on it, that it referred to Antiochus Epiphanes, right? And so, but it also, those same prophecies not only applied to what Antiochus did to the children of God, but those same prophecies we pick up in the book of Revelation and apply to the Antichrist himself. The same thing that Antiochus did as far as stopping the sacrifice, as far as desecrating the sacrificial system, that is what the Antichrist is going to do in the last days. And so prophecy, revelation, can many times have more than one time frame of application. It can refer to what's happening right now. It can refer to what's going to be taking place, and sometimes what's going to be taking place far away in the future. So we receive revelation. And then the next thing that I wanted you to put on your notes, and we're going to quickly listen to chapter 8, is this. Understanding the plan of God needs repeated re-examination. Repeated re-examination. I know I'm being redundant, but we need to keep going back to it and keep going back. Once we have received that revelation from God, you hold on to it, you go back to it, and you examine it over and over and over again. If God gives you a word picture or something, I encourage you, write it down, describe it, so that you can go back to it at different points in your life and see what God was speaking to you. If God gives you a word while you're praying, a promise, maybe it's even a scripture, write it down so that you can go back to it. I go back to the scriptures. Listen, I don't just study them once. I study them over and over and over again. Even if it's a subject that I've already preached on many times, I will go back and I will re-examine it. I will study it again just to see, God, is there anything else that I'm missing? Is there something that you're bringing greater clarity to me now than when I first studied it? Because you will find that often with revelation, this happens. The more you go back and the more you examine it, the more clarity God will bring to your life. The more understanding, the more power from that you will gain, because you will understand the plan of God. Let me give you a quick illustration. I'm doing marriage counseling with my son, as I try to do with all the people that I married. I'm doing marriage counseling. It's 12 weeks of marriage counseling. A session lasts about an hour and a half. But every time I go back and I study the principles that I'm going to be sharing with the couple that I'm counseling, I learn something more about the plan of God for marriage, for my marriage, and how God wants it to work. Now, I can't even count to you this morning how many weddings I've done over the years, how many sessions of premarital counseling I've done. But as I re-examine it each time, as I go through it with the couples, I learn even more about God's plan. And that's true for you too. The more you re-examine the revelation, the more you're going to learn. So let's re-examine with Daniel as he tells us the vision that he had 2 years later. And it's similar things. It's about the same kingdoms, but it gives us a little bit different details about what's taking place.
Chapter 8.
In the third year of King Belshazzar's reign, I, Daniel, had a vision after the one that had already appeared to me. In my vision, I saw myself in the city of Susa in the province of Elam. In the vision, I was beside the Ulai Canal. I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns, standing beside the canal, and the horns were long. One of the horns was longer than the other, but grew up later. I watched the ram as it charged toward the west and the north and the south. No animal could stand against it, and none could rescue from its power. It did as it pleased and became great. As I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between its eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. It came toward the two-horned ram I had seen standing beside the canal and charged at it in great rage. I saw it attack the ram furiously, striking the ram and shattering its two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against it. The goat knocked it to the ground and trampled on it, and none could rescue the ram from its power. The goat became very great, but at the height of its power, the large horn was broken off, and in its place, four prominent horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land. It grew until it reached the host of the heavens, and it threw some of the starry host down to the earth and trampled on them. It set itself up to be as great as the commander of the army of the Lord. It took away the daily sacrifice from the Lord, and his sanctuary was thrown down. Because of rebellion, the Lord's people and the daily sacrifice were given over to it. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to him,
"How long will it take for the vision to be fulfilled? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion that causes desolation, the surrender of the sanctuary, and the trampling underfoot of the Lord's people?"
He said to me,
"It will take 2,300 evenings and mornings. Then the sanctuary will be reconsecrated."
While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice from the Uli calling,
"Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision."
As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate.
"Son of man,"
he said to me,
"understand that the vision concerns the time of the end."
While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then he touched me and raised me to my feet. He said,
"I am going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end. The two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the large horn between its eyes is the first king. The four horns that replaced the one that was broken off represent four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation, but will not have the same power. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a fierce-looking king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy those who are mighty, the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the Prince of Princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given you is true. But seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future."
I, Daniel, was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding.
So here in chapter 8, we are given a successive vision that speaks of some of the same kingdoms that Daniel received a vision about in chapter 7. But now we have even more details about these kingdoms. In fact, we are told very specifically now, we are not left to wonder, that in this case, the first thing that we see here in Daniel chapter 8 is related to the second beast, which was described as a bear in chapter 7, is now described as a ram in chapter 8. but it's the same kingdom. It's the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the successive animal that we see in chapter 8 is now not a leopard that we see in chapter 7, but now is described as a shaggy goat with a very prominent horn in the center. And we are told that this is the Grecian Empire. And so we come to understand, again, we're looking back on this. Daniel didn't have the ability to look back and pull out history book and figure all this out. He was just given the vision. But we understand that that prominent horn represented Alexander the Great. We also know that Alexander's kingdom resulted after his death in the distribution of his kingdom into four rulers. And so we see that. And then the horn that begins to make war here, we again can attribute to Antiochus Epiphanes because that's exactly what he did. And there's some other keys in there that help us understand that revelation. But again, the point that I want to make is that we need to understand the plan of God. We need to have a relationship. We need to receive that revelation. We need to re-examine it. Because here, now Daniel has even more information. Every time you go back, you can go back to 7 and 8 a thousand times, and you're going to get more information from God on what this means. Study it out for yourself. Examine it and see how God begins to develop that and reveal even more to you. But here's what James said. James said, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like. And that's the way it is with Bible study a lot of the times. We go and we read the passage, and even we hear God say something to us. We close it up. We get into our day. And we forget what is that. Do you know how many sermons that I've prepared in my head that I haven't preached because I forgot them before I got to paper to write them down? I don't know, because I forgot. But I know it's a lot. I hate that. I study a passage and God begins to speak to me, but I don't take time right then to write it down. I don't take time right then to pray and to really seed it into my spirit. But I'm thinking to myself, man, that is good. I need to take time to do something with that. And I get going about my day. And then I'm halfway through the day and I'm like, Lord, I lost it. It was so good. Lord, bring it back. We need to re-examine the revelation that God gives to us, repeatedly re-examine it so that it really can help us understand the plan of God. I wrote this down. I said the devil is in the details. There's that saying, you know, the devil's in the details. Sometimes there are things hiding that we have not yet seen. And we need to re-examine revelation so that we can find more in the details. But, as I told you already, we also must be careful not to focus too much on the details and miss the overall meaning of the revelation. Don't get so tied up in the details that you miss the overall meaning. That's what the Pharisees did. Jesus said in Matthew 23, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." You blind guides! He said, you don't have understanding of God's plan. You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. What's he saying? You didn't repeatedly re-examine it, and you got so caught up in the details that you missed what God was trying to teach you about his plan. Revelation really isn't that difficult. It's not that confusing. If we'll let God reveal to us what his plan is. And we're not done repeating this, because when we get to Daniel chapter 11, we're going to hear even more about these visions and the end times. And the fourth thing I want to tell you as a close today is this. Resist reinterpretation. Resist reinterpretation. The whole point I want to make here is this. Don't go back and try to make it say something else. When God has revealed something to you, when he has given you his plan, don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to work it around. Don't try to find the answer that you want it to say. There's too many people that get tripped up when they begin trying to make the scripture say what they've already decided it says. See, revelation comes from God and the Spirit of God. So don't try to put your interpretation on the revelation. Go to God and get his interpretation, get his understanding. Do you notice how Daniel says more than one time here, I don't know what you're trying to say here, Lord. In chapter 8, we hear this voice say, Gabriel, go explain it to him. God will explain by his Holy Spirit the interpretation that you need. But don't go back and try to make it say what you want it to say. Make it be what you want it to be. Let God give you the interpretation and then stick with that interpretation. Stick with what the Word of God says. Listen, folks, we've had several thousand years of church history here to be able to know that many times churches have rewritten the Word of God, changed their doctrinal beliefs, manipulated and reinterpreted to make it fit the conditions that they want it to fit. Even in today's world, we see people who are rewriting the standards of God's Word, reinterpreting it so that it's easier to fit in today's culture. We cannot reinterpret. Resist that. Let the Word of God speak for itself. Let the Holy Spirit speak for himself. And notice what Daniel says. I'm going to draw your attention to it one more time. He says in verse 28 in chapter 7, this is the end of the matter. That's it. This is what God showed me. This is what he told me. I don't have it all. I can't give you the entirety of the details, but this is the end of the matter. And Daniel even admits, he said, I was troubled in my thoughts and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. In other words, I didn't go out there and try to get it reinterpreted. Don't know it all. And I'm troubled. Troubled partly because of just the all that was going on in the vision, troubled also, I believe, because he didn't know the dates, the times, the season. Look, if we start moving into that point where we're trying to figure out prophecy and revelation so that we can put a date on when Jesus is coming back, you know that you've moved into that area of reinterpretation, because the Bible says that that's not for us to know. You don't know the day and the hour when Jesus is coming back. And so quit trying to reinterpret things to make it fit what you want it to say. In Daniel chapter 8, he says in verse 27, I was worn out. Sometimes it's exhausting receiving revelation from God. I was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. And listen to what he says. It was beyond my understanding. Not that understanding the plan of God wasn't there. He had an understanding of the plan. It's just that he didn't understand every single in and out and detail of it. And again, you got to remember that this information that was giving him was years, some cases hundreds of years after he died. We look back on it and say, oh yeah, that's what it meant. But he was just simply saying, listen, I don't have every single detail, but that's okay. Resist reinterpreting it and putting your own details on it. Right? You don't have to put your details on it. Just let the Word of God stand for what it is. That's sometimes I don't know why we get so upset and why we argue so much about interpreting things like prophecy in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. Just let it be what it says it is. God says, this is what it's going to look like. I believe what God says. Now, some of it I can believe even easier because, like I said, it's already happened. But the stuff that hasn't happened yet, I don't have to reinterpret it and fit my time frame. I can simply believe, God, you have revealed it. You said that in the last days, there's going to be this ruler who rises up. He comes against God's people. He desecrates the temple. He stops the sacrifice. You know what that tells me? That tells me the sacrifice has got to be started somewhere again before he can stop it again. Come on. We can look at certain things and know there's no way he can stop something that isn't happening. So in order for the Antichrist to stop the sacrifices, which is going to happen, the sacrifices have to start again. And believe you me, they've been working on it in extreme fashion for years, trying to figure out not only the red heifer, but where to build the altar so that the whole thing can be reinitiated. Amen. Temple implements have already been created. But I'm getting off into other stuff. I'm just telling you, resist that reinterpretation. We may not have complete understanding, but we have an understanding of God's plan. 2 Peter, I close with this verse. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture ever came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy or revelation never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The best thing that we have to give us revelation and to keep us from reinterpreting is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. As we stay in relationship with Him, we're going to receive revelation. We have the privilege of re-examining it repeatedly, and we resist putting our own interpretation on it. And if we do those things, you will understand God's plan. Not only for the end, but you'll understand God's plan for your life today and in the days to come. Would you stand with me? Dawn, you want to shout out something real quick?
I should have shared this earlier when Pastor talked about the cigarette pole. That really weighed on my heart. Parents, is this on? Oh, okay. I'm rusty at this. It's been 4 years since God's given me words to speak out to a congregation. Parents, grandparents, teach your children, even the grade schoolers starting in first grade, not just see you at the pool every day. Teach them as they're walking into that school building to pray, little ones, Jesus be in my school today, protect my school. Older kids, plead the blood of Jesus over your school. Our society has put us in a defensive mode for our schools and the evil that is coming into our schools. We are Christians filled with the Spirit. We are to be in an offensive mode. The offensive mode is to plead the blood of Jesus over that school every single day before those kids get in that school, that the devil does not touch it. If the devil gets in there, we have to remember what Joseph said, what man meant for evil, you meant for good. There's a reason. But we have left our schools wide open to the devices of evil. And we need to plead the blood of Jesus over that. We need to teach our kids from little on to do that. Little ones won't understand pleading the blood of Jesus. But they'll understand, Jesus, be in my Jesus, will protect us. Amen. And we need to do that. And when you're home, you need to plead the blood of Jesus over that school. I shared how my foot slipped when we were hiking and I would have been dead had it happened. I pleaded the blood of Jesus over myself every day. I live in a dangerous place. Plead the blood of Jesus over myself, over my property, every day that I'm there. My foot slipped, but God had a plan that I did not fall. It was His provision to have a person behind me to catch me. We need to do that with our schools. So don't just do it on the day of see you at the pole. Do it every single day those kids are in school.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, you gave Daniel an understanding of your plan. He lived in a day that itself was confusing, in a nation that was not his own, under rules and circumstances that were at times contrary to the will of God. But he had a relationship with you, and through that you spoke things to him that no one else knew. I believe that you have that same relationship with us today, that through Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we too can receive revelation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We too can receive revelation from the Ancient of Days. We too can have an understanding of God's plan. So give that to us today. May we receive that revelation, whether it be through reading your word or through prayer, through a sermon that's preached, through the gift of the Holy Spirit being spoken forth in some sort of word, even as a word was just spoken from this pulpit a moment ago about our schools. Thank you for the revelations that you give us. May we hold on to them. May we walk in them. May we understand your plan. I ask that you go with us and be with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you this morning.